wonderful to be together on this Lord's Day, and we're grateful for your coming. It's our pleasure to be back with you and appreciate so much the work that was done while we were away. Thanks to those who took part in teaching and preaching. It's always wonderful to know that the work is in good hands. You don't have to dig very far into the Scriptures to find water. As early as the second verse, we read where the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Genesis 1 and in verse 2. On the second day of creation, God said, as recorded in verse 6, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. In verse 9, God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place. Let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. If you were to read from this point forward, you would come across the word water 396 times throughout the pages of divine inspiration. And I'm calling our attention this morning to where God put water. Has it occurred to you that water has occupied a prominent place in God's scheme of things? In that down through the ages, God has often used water to accomplish his purposes and has put water between people and various things. What you might like to do is to get you out a sheet of paper and make you a little water dividing between some things. And what we want to notice is some places God put water. Let me explore that with you for just a few moments. I begin by calling your attention to a statement that was made by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 20. Peter penned, "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by what? Water." This takes us back to the days of Noah. Are you aware that God put water between Noah and salvation? The Bible says Noah was saved by water. On this particular occasion, the water was flood water. This takes us back to Genesis chapter 6 through 9. In chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, we read where the conditions of man were very corrupt. Man was so evil and so corrupt that God decided to bring an end. In Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord said in verse 7, "I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God's grace revealed to Noah a plan whereby he could be saved. And that plan involved him building an ark, as recorded in Genesis 6 and in verse 14. God said in verse 17, "Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." God used water to destroy all flesh from the face of the earth. But God also used water to bring about the salvation of Noah from the destruction of the old world. As 1 Peter 3:20 stated, that Noah was saved by water. Somebody said, how did that happen? How did that take place? How was Noah saved by water? Genesis 7:17 holds the answer. "The flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth." Noah was saved by water, and that the flood waters buoyed up the ark and kept it afloat. And so you have to be impressed with how God put water, flood water in this occasion, between Noah and his salvation. He was saved by water. Hebrews 11, and then verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There are a number of things by which Noah was saved. This passage affirms he is saved by faith. The grace of God was involved, as Genesis 6, 8 states. But he was also saved by water. 1 Peter 3, and in verse 20. But let me suggest to you another place where we find God putting water. Come with me this time to the book of Exodus and the 14th chapter. In Exodus chapter 14, we read where the Lord's people are being liberated from Egyptian bondage. They'd been in Egyptian bondage for some 400 years, and they were distressed, and the Lord heard their cry for help, and He raised up a deliverer in the person of Moses. And through His outstretched arm, 10 mighty wonder-filled plagues were performed to demonstrate that all may know who God is. And upon the death of the firstborn, the 10th and final plague, Pharaoh said, go. And the people left in haste. And the Egyptians are pursuing. We've got a problem. The Lord's people are being pursued by the Egyptians, and in front of them they have the Red Sea. Did you know God put water between Israel and their redemption from Egypt? They had to pass through water before they were redeemed from Egypt. And on this particular occasion, the water was sea water. It was Red Sea water. And the way this happened was through a miracle. As the Lord caused dry ground to appear. Notice in Exodus 14 and in verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. God has always intended for His people to go forward. Now, in their hearts, on numerous occasions, they're going to turn back to Egypt. God never did physically allow them to go back to Egypt. But in their hearts, they'd go back. He wanted them to go forward. That's a good little lesson for us. There's some who want to turn back. They want to go back. No, God said, go forward. Well, the problem is, what are we going to do? We got this Red Sea in front. How are we going to go forward, Lord? The Lord said in verse 16 to Moses, lift up your rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Verse 21 picks up, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. God divided the sea. And there was a wall of water on either side of them. Just imagine a river. Here you're trying to cross this water. And God, through Moses, stretching out His hand with that rod, caused the water to be parted. And on either side of the people, a wall of water. And over top of them was a cloud, as God led them by a cloud during the day. Remember that? And a pillar of fire by night. And the Bible indicates the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. Exodus 14, 22. And in verse 29, the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. The Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. As the people of Israel passed through the sea on the dry ground, they made it safely across the other side. So the Egyptians pursued. Here they all come after them in the midst of the sea. And what happens? Those walls of water collapse upon them. And they all drown. They all perish. And so you're impressed with the place God put water. God put water between Israel and their being redeemed from Egypt. See that? But let me suggest to you another place that God put water. I take us this time to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 5. A familiar story to many Bible students when we read of Naaman the leper. He was a great man, honorable, a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper, and leprosy was a disease for which there was no known cure that could not be cured by the hands of men. But God made it possible for this leprous man to be cleansed of his leprosy. Elisha, the prophet, sent a messenger unto Naaman, as recorded in verse 10. And here's what he said to Naaman. Go and wash. Where do you want me to wash? In Jordan. How many times? Seven times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Did you see where God put water? God put water between Naaman and his cleansing from his leprosy. And on this particular occasion, the water was Jordan River water. Now, you'd think that a fella with this disease would have been happy about this news. Go wash in Jordan. Seven times your flesh will become to you again like the flesh of a little child. But in verse 11, Naaman was wroth. That is, he was upset about that. He was angry. He said, behold, I thought. That's what it got him into trouble. He said, I thought. Instead of going by what the man of God told him to do, he went by what he thought. That gets into people's way today, doesn't it? Sometimes people will be told what the Bible says, and they say, I thought. Because they're thinking different from what the Bible says. And I've got to learn, like Isaiah revealed in Isaiah 55:8-9, where the Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. See, God's thinking and ways are on a far higher plane than my own. That's why Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Naaman thought he knew something better. And he wanted a substitute. He said, are not Abana and Harpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Why should I go wash in this Jordan? I know some better waters. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. You ever encounter anybody like that? Maybe you try to reason with them from the Scriptures, what the Bible says, and they get all upset about that. They get bent out of shape, and they go away in a rage. They may shut the door, slam the door, have some unkind words to say to you on the way out. Let me suggest to you that as long as he stayed away from the water, the Jordan water, he remained in his leprosy. Because God put water, Jordan water, between him and his cleansing from leprosy. Naaman, we got a question for you. Why stay in your leprosy when you can be clean? The servants came near, verse 13, and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. It wasn't until he did what the man of God said, until he dipped himself in the Jordan water seven times, that he was clean. It just highlights this little story of where God put water and helps us to appreciate that God's often employed the use of water to accomplish whatever he chooses. And water has stood between man and different blessings of God. Come with me now to the New Testament. Let's notice another occasion where God put water. In the book of John and the 9th chapter, we read about a man that was born blind. So we'll talk a little bit about a blind man. Did you know God put water between this blind man and something? Verse 1 says, Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And then verse 7, here's what he told the blind man. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Go wash in the sent pool. Now, let me ask you. If you were born blind and you had an opportunity to be able to see, and the Lord said, what you need to do in order to see again, to have sight, is you need to go wash in this pool. What would you do? Would you go and do it? And so here, water, we'll put pool water here. Pool water, the pool of Siloam, or sent, is put between the blind man and his sight. Somebody might say, why? What in the world does washing in a pool have to do with me receiving my sight? It's the fact that that's what the Lord said. Naaman could have said, what in the world does dipping in the Jordan have to do with me being cleansed of leprosy? There were no properties of healing or cleansing in the Jordan. There were no agents of sight receiving in that pool. It's not that the water had properties of healing in it, but it's the act of obedience. It's the fact that that's what God said, and he just made use of water. And when he had enough faith and trust in the Lord to go and do what the Lord said, guess what happened? He came seeing. Look at the rest of verse 7. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. And so God put water between a blind man and his receiving his sight. Now let's make application of that. As God put water between Noah and his salvation, Red Sea water between Israel and their redemption from Egypt, Jordan River water between Naaman and his cleansing of his leprosy, and pool water between a blind man and his sight, God has put water between the sinner and several things today. And this is the waters of baptism. Baptismal water. Now, baptism involves water. It requires water. And there are a number of passages that indicate that. Like in the book of Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 11, when John talked about how that there comes one after me who's mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoe I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He shall baptize you with water. John baptized with water. And in John 3:23, we're told that he baptized near Salem, a place called Anon. Why? Because there was much water. In Acts 8, when the eunuch was baptized, he said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? They went down both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, he baptized him, came up out of the water. Baptism involves water. Acts 10:47-48. With Cornelius. Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized? And so baptism involves water, doesn't it? The element into which one is immersed is water. And God has put the waters of baptism between the sinner and several things. Let's list some of those. First of all, he's put the waters of baptism between the sinner and his salvation. In Mark 16 and verse 16. The Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. Where did God put the water? Did he put the water between the sinner and his salvation? Or did he put it after his salvation? Read the text. In 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. When Peter talked about how that Noah was saved by water. He didn't say we're saved by water, by the way. He said, even baptism doth also now save us. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. There are some who have the misconception that the Church of Christ teaches water salvation. That we're saved by water. We're not saved by water. We're saved by baptism. Baptism involves water. God put the waters of baptism between a man and his salvation. Don't go away saying that we're saved by water. The Bible doesn't say that. We're saved by baptism, which is an act of immersion in water that is necessary to be saved. But God put the waters of baptism between the sinner and something else. He placed baptism between the sinner and the remission of his sins. That is, if a person's sins are going to be remitted, going to be forgiven and pardoned, he must be baptized. He must be immersed in water. Acts 2:38 finds Peter saying, "Repent and be baptized." Why? For the remission of sins. And so God put water, baptismal water, between a person who's in sin, who is separated from God, and having his sins remitted. But also, God put the waters of baptism between the sinner and his sins being washed away. I know that is the case because in Acts 22 and verse 16, when Ananias said unto Saul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." But God put baptism between something else. He put baptism between the sinner and the death of Christ. That is, if a person is to come into contact with the blood of Christ that was shed in his death, as depicted in John 19, 33 and 34, he's going to have to reach the death of Christ. And that's accomplished by being buried with him by baptism into death. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. God put baptism, which involves immersion in water, between the sinner and the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 13, Paul said, "For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body." As long as a person refuses to be immersed in water, he's not into the body of Christ. He's not among the called. The called are in one body, Colossians 3:15. He's not been reconciled to God as we're reconciled in one body, Ephesians 2:16. He's not among those who are saved because Christ is the Savior of what? Of the body. Ephesians 5. And then verse 23. And then one other area where God put baptism between the sinner and... Can you think of what that might be? Between the sinner and being in Christ. You know, the Bible often stresses the importance of being in the Lord. That's where all spiritual blessings are. Ephesians 1:3. That's where salvation is, 2 Timothy 2:10. That's where redemption is found today, according to Romans 3 and verse 24. And so I want to be in the Lord. That's where the hope and promise of eternal life is. Titus 1:2 and 1 John 2:25. How do I get into that? Through baptism. Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So when you think about where God put water, He put the flood water between Noah and his salvation, the Red Sea water between Israel and their redemption, Jordan River water between Naaman and his cleansing, pool water between the blind man and his sight, and immersion in water between the sinner and six things that we've talked about. It's being saved, it's having the remission of sins, it's sins being washed away, reaching the death of Christ, thereby coming into contact with the blood of Christ, entering the body of Christ, and getting into the Lord. Now, why stay in Egypt? Why stay in your leprosy? Why stay blind when you have access to those benefits and those blessings? Just as Naaman had to go and dip, and the blind man had to go and wash. If I want all of these benefits and these blessings that we've talked about, I need to realize that God's made use of water and that He requires me to be baptized, which is an immersion in water. It's an act of obedience. Just as there were no properties of healing in Jordan to cleanse a man of his leprosy, and there were no elements of healing when it came to bringing sight to the blind, otherwise every blind man alive would have gone and dipped and washed in that pool, right? But it's the fact that's what the Lord said. And there's nothing in the water that causes me to be saved. If I say by water, or if water saved, if water did all of these things, what we would do out here on Interstate 70 is put up a roadblock. We'd get some of these men here in the congregation, and we'd stop every motorist. We'd put us a little pool of water out there. And we'd stop every motorist. We'd just insist that they get out of the vehicle. We'd just kind of drag them out whether they wanted to or not and put them in that water, wouldn't we? If water saved. But it's not the water. There's nothing in the water. But it's the act of obedience. It's when I realize that the Lord expects me to believe on Him and to be baptized, to be immersed in water. And it's through that submission to His will. As Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him, Hebrews 5:9, that I am saved from my past sins. That those things are remitted, washed away. The blood of Christ is applied to my sins. I enter the one body and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But hopefully this study helps us appreciate how God has used water down through the ages to accomplish His purposes. We'd like to encourage you, in light of this, if you've not been baptized, to allow yourself to ask the question that the eunuch asked. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And if that's your desire, we'll take you to the water. And we'll baptize you. We'll go down in the water, just like he did. And you'll be immersed in the water. Why? So these advantages can be yours. Don't let a simple thing like that stand between you and your obedience to the Lord. Would you make the confession of faith? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Having repented of your sins, believing with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we'll be happy to baptize you. Maybe you've already done that. You failed to be faithful. There's sin that's come into your life and separated you from God. Would you repent of that? Ask for His forgiveness. We'll pray for you. If you'll come to the front, as together we stand and sing.